Well, there was a missionary group that went to India, and their goal was to serve the poor in a remote area. Well, the group showed up with all kinds of supplies and programs and skilled workers, and they were ready to get to work and transform that village, make a real difference. They wanted to see it go from poor and squalid to a place of health and vitality. Well, they went to that people living there, and it was kind of a village, but it's actually kind of a slum too. And they said, hey, we could build a medical clinic to help you with your medical needs. We could build a school so that you can get educated and help you out of poverty. We could build a church so you can gather together and learn about God. What would you like us to do for you? And people got together, you know, and sounds like a good question, you know, what would you like us to do for you? And the people of the village said, we want a mailbox. And the missionaries went, what? You know, they said, yeah, we want like a mailbox so we can have like our own official zip code. Well, I never would have thought of that in a million years. And I said, a mailbox, we can give you a school, a church building, a hospital. You want a mailbox? I said, yeah, we need a mailbox. You see, in India, it turns out, if you live in a slum, if you live in a poor area, a little village off the end of the earth, if you don't have a zip code or a mailbox, you don't exist on the map. And even if you're a community of, say, 10 or 20,000, if you don't have a zip code, you're not recognized as existing for anything, including social services from the government. You know, so imagine you move to Trail and your pension check can't find its way to you. Let's just say you'd be a little upset about that, I'm sure. You know, at least maybe you'd come to my mailbox, and that's okay, but never mind. But nevertheless, they didn't want the school, medical clinic, or church. They wanted to be put on the map. They wanted an identity. They wanted to become a recognized part of their own country. And the missionaries wouldn't have known that unless they asked the question and unless they listened. You see, a lot of times people just come to work, and they start clearing land and building and getting busy, and they don't stop to find out what the need really is. Well, I'm glad to hear that the missionaries truly listened, and they stopped long enough from trying to transform the world to find out what was needed. You know, that is a really important thing with the people in our world, for someone to stop long enough to listen to what's going on in their lives. And it's really a way to build relationships. Everyone needs to be listened to. Everyone wants to be listened to. And as believers seeking to bless others, it's a great way to go about things. Before we go any farther, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd guide our time as we look into some passages and talk about life principles. Oh, Lord, that you would just guide us. We don't just want to take in. We want it to come out in our lives. And I pray that you would use us to be a blessing to all those around us. And Lord, that you would use us to bless some folks so that they would want to come to know the God who has blessed us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. When God called Abram, who became Abraham, he first said, I will bless you, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's in Genesis 12. And Abraham wasn't just blessed to take in, but to be a blessing. Well, last week we talked about the idea of bless, B-L-E-S-S. It's the ideas from a book called by that name, by a guy named Dave Ferguson. And he had some great ideas. And anybody remember what the B stands for? Be in prayer. Be in prayer. Well, we're going to talk about the L today. You know, and with the B, we want to begin by saying, oh, okay, you wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, who can I be a blessing to you? Who's going to come across my path? Who would you have me to love? And I want to encourage you to be thinking about who are two or three people that maybe the Lord wants me to reach out to. Now, in the foyer on the table where the bulletins are, there's some magnets. We use some of them. Some of you already may have one from years ago. It says, who is my neighbor? And it's got nine different square little places for houses, and you're right in the middle. And I want to encourage you to be praying. Who are a couple of folks that live around me or that I encounter on a regular basis that I could be a blessing? You can take those magnets. So think about, who do you see at school, at the store, at work, in the neighborhood, the gas station, or whomever? Because what we want to do is we want to begin in prayer, and then we want to listen with care. And the acronym BLESS begin, of course, be in prayer, listen with care, eat or experience with, serve, and then share your story. Well, it's interesting. The Bible has a lot to say about hearing. And the words ear and ears or ears appears 56 times. I think the word hear, hears, heard, hearing appears over 1,000. And you've got words like listen, listening 87 times. Most of the time, it's God saying, now hear this. Listen to me. Hear the word of the Lord. But there are a few times where it talks about people talk to each other and they either listen to them or they didn't listen to them. And then there's a few that actually tell us that we should take time to listen to others. Amazing. Listen to God, first of all, yes. But it's important to listen to others as well. Well, we're going to focus on listening as a means of loving on folks. And a really chief passage is found in James chapter 1, James 1:19. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Notice the order. Listen, then speak. That's important. And be quick to listen and slow to speak. I heard it said God's given you two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much as you talk. And that can be a lot, real hard for a lot of you. And for some of you, the challenge is getting you to talk. For others, it's the opposite, and probably you know who you are. But the listening thing is hard because I know I've got a lot to say the world needs to hear. You know, my opinion on this, that, and the other, or my great story, or what have you. But actually, there are some things the world does need to hear about the Lord Jesus, but sometimes I'm too busy talking about other stuff. But you know, if we're to bless people, we may have to stop monopolizing conversations. We hear faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So it is important to actually communicate the truth of the gospel, but sometimes some of us need to stop by listening, and that way that'll communicate a lot too. Well, the story of Job and his three friends is often used as an example of good listening. And how powerful just the ministry of presence. Someone is struggling and they don't want it, they don't need advice. They just want you to pay attention for a little while. What his friends do is, in a sense, they mourn with him. They mourn with those who mourn. At first glance, it seems like they're listening with care. And in Job chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, we read this. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. Okay, so far so good. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him, and they began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. Well, this is a good thing. They hear that Job's had a rotten week. You know, his children have all died. His servants have all died. I think his house has collapsed. He's lost his worldly possessions. All he has is his nagging wife, and that's not going so well, but that's another story. But he's grieved. He's very much grieved, and his friends see and they care, and they don't just come for a few minutes, say, hey, how's it going? Oh, sorry, you're looking rough. I'm out of here. No, they stick around for 7 days and nights. That's a long time. They sound like good friends. They're called friends at the very beginning of verse 11. And the whole time they didn't speak. Why? Because his suffering was too great for words. Was clearly stated in the text, and it seems like that's a really good idea. And most of the commentaries and most of the things I've read and probably you've heard is that Job's friends did a great job caring for him until they opened their mouths. And then everything went south, you know, and pretty much everything they said was not true, wasn't accurate, was not helpful. And in the end, God says, you be quiet, you knuckleheads. Or I'm not sure the exact, that's the Hebrew word. But anyway, But then I was doing some more research, and I found some other studies that said, you know, Job's friends actually didn't do a very good job of caring for him. And they were saying, you need to notice the little phrase right in the middle that us 21st century Westerners don't even notice. Because what they do, they saw and they start weeping, and they throw dust or ashes on their heads, and they tear their clothes. And that's actually a mourning ritual for what was going on back then. So basically what they were communicating was, you're as good as dead, buddy. You're toast. They put on their funeral clothes when they went to go see him. You know, that wouldn't be real encouraging. Imagine you are sick as a dog. You feel terrible. You are conscious. And I go to visit you at Asante Hospital. And there happens to be someone else in the room. And I say, oh, how you doing? Oh, yeah. And then I ignore you as well as the other person. We discuss how we're going to have your funeral service. What do you think their favorite verse is? Or what songs would they like? You want to do the obituary, should I? And meanwhile, you're going, I'm not dead yet. Well, in a sense, that's kind of what could have been happening with Job, you know. Yes, they're not talking, but they're like, as if he is dead. So I'm not 100% sure they got it right in that regard. But I think we can learn. If someone's struggling, it is good to be quiet and to listen and to care and to be there. And just like Job's friends did find out, their advice was not so good. Well, anyway, another example of listening, which is always better, is you go to Jesus. He never messes up. Aren't you glad? We can always say, oh, do like Jesus did. I mean, maybe don't go tell the pastor he's a brood of vipers, unless he is, but never mind. Anyway, let's look at Luke 18. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus is on his way through Jericho, one of the last stops until he gets to Jerusalem. He's going to celebrate Passover, and there's a massive crowd, people all over. And yet you got this one guy screaming and hollering, and somehow Jesus is able to hear this voice. I'm guessing it's like when you have about 200 screaming kids on one big toy at the park, and the mothers are talking, and all of a sudden she hears, wah! And she can pick out whose kid it is, hers. You moms have amazing hearing. And I kind of feel like Jesus has got that. Not that I'm saying Jesus has super mom hearing, but he's attuned. And so what's he do? It's very fascinating. He hears the guy distinctly. And he doesn't tell the guy to buzz off or be quiet. No, this is what happens in verse 40. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God too. It's fascinating. This is a seeming nobody. Just some blind beggar by the side of the road. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't have time. It would seem that he doesn't have time to deal with some disabled guy, especially one who hollers and is poor and ragged and taking time away and blocking his schedule and interrupting his time with the peeps. No, but what's Jesus do? He interacts with this guy. Well, I'm encouraged because guess what? He interacts with me too and with you as well. And we are very important to him because we're made in his image and he loves us. But he shows care and concern. Meanwhile, the rest of the people are thinking, don't bother Jesus. He doesn't care about the likes of you. Well, they don't know Jesus very well. I'm glad he cares about everybody. But Jesus asks what seems like kind of a silly question. Here's this blind guy, you know, however he was doing it. What do you want me to do for you? Well, duh. Can't you see? You can't see. No. Well, you know, well, Jesus is actually up to something even bigger. Here's this guy who's having faith in the Messiah, and he's just going to heal him, and he's going to praise God, and other people are going to praise God. But Jesus really wants to say to the folks that you guys are blind as a nation. You're missing out on me. This guy sees me, even not with his real eyes, with his spiritual eyes. You guys can see me with your real eyes, but your spiritual eyes, you can't see me. Oh, I wish you'd be like this former blind guy who's, boom, now healed. But all this to take away from this is Jesus listened to this guy and he asked a very profound question. And look what happened. Our Lord cares and he loves and he wants us to do the same. If you want to have a good relationship with someone, it's really important to listen. It is vital. It's not a helpful thing in any kind of relationship, if to be told, you never listen. For one, never is probably not the right word to use because when they called you for dinner, I'm sure you came. But as a whole, I don't feel like you listen on a real regular basis. Now, that would be very accurate. And the relationship's not going to be great because we all know what it's like to be listened to or not. And listening is a way to show love. And not listening is a way that communicates whether you mean to or not. You don't really love. Like one counselor put it this way, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. If you listen, You feel loved. You know, I want to give you a little listening test. Hopefully you put in your hearing aids. Anyway, I'm going to read a statement. I want you to listen carefully. Then I'm going to ask you a question. We'll find out. Okay, you are a bus driver. You drive 3 miles to the south, then 4 miles to the east. You pick up 9 passengers. Then you drive 2 miles to the north and 7 miles to the west. Then you drop off 5 passengers. Okay, let me read it again. You are a bus driver. You drive 3 miles to the south and then 4 miles to the east. You pick up 9 passengers. Then you drive 2 miles to the north and then 7 miles to the west. Then you drop off 5 passengers. Here's my question. What's the age of the bus driver? How many of you think you know the answer? How many of you have no clue? Kenny, how old's the bus driver?
I'm 40.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Callie, how old is the bus driver? 16. Okay. And some of you are going, how do you know that? Remember, there's 5 key words I repeated over and over. You.
42.
Yeah, so if you still don't get it, ask a neighbor later. It's you are the bus driver. Nevertheless, I'll have to admit, when I read that, I was like, what? Oh, took me a while too, nevertheless. But listening is really important, and that was more of a trick listening exercise, I'll admit. But think how much we don't get from our conversations when we're not really listening with everything we got. You know, I'm not suggesting you use the same question Jesus used on the blind man with everyone you meet. What can I do for you? Unless maybe you're a gas station attendant or you work at a restaurant or something else. Because it is true that Jesus had like 300 other questions he asked folks. But what we really need is people who will listen. And you may have remembered Stephen Covey talked about the 7 habits of effective people. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. They're not waiting to hear more. They're waiting to speak up. And that's not a good thing. You know, maybe we wait and we catch their breath, but then we try to get in our thing. You ever been in a conversation like that? Don't point to anybody you know, and you don't have to raise your hand either. Or have you ever been talking to someone and they're saying, but the light may be on, but nobody's home. They're on planet X or wherever, you know, watching the TV, looking at their watch. Well, if you're seeking to bless someone, especially your neighbor, a coworker, someone who doesn't know Jesus, that's not how you want to do it. You know, I was doing some reading. I heard the guy who invented the stethoscope did so because he found it really awkward for both parties when he had to listen to the heartbeat of his female patients. You know, he just kind of get up with his ear and, well, you know where. And anyway, so he invented this device, and that way he could kind of do it from a distance. But what he told his patients, his fellow doctors afterwards, were, if you use this tool, don't stop listening to your patients. They're telling you how to treat them. Fascinating. The goal was not just to hear the mechanical lub-dub, lub-dub of the heart, but to listen to what the patients were saying, how they were feeling, what they were describing. A good doctor is going to, yes, do the art and the science and work those things together. No, when I say listen, I just don't mean have the sound waves emanating off from out of their mouth and bouncing off those little bones that I can't remember the name of in your ears. You know, y'all learn those things. What's it? It's not a hammer and sickle. A hammer and anvil. You know, the little thing you learn in biology class. And listening is mean more than, it's more than just, you know, that someone's yapping. No, it's actually taking the time to make sense of what they're saying and actually caring. It could be putting the paper down, turning off the remote, looking your darling in the eye and saying, okay, and praying to God for help, you know, that kind of thing. But if we want to truly bless people, we can't just keep assuming we know what's making them tick or not. And so we may want to ask questions. You know what? Something I found really interesting is the Upper Road Community Center has a, what do they call it, sweet treats and coffee every Monday from about 9 to 11. And I try to go there a couple times a month. And I have to admit, most times it's like a Monday morning, I'm tired, I just want to take a nap on the couch. But I try to get down there, and I find it's a great place to interact with people. It's the people, they're in a mood to talk. They're in the mood to eat junk food and drink coffee. And I've heard some amazing, incredible tales, some of which I think are true. But it's very fascinating. You know, sometimes I ask a question. You know, I've asked a bunch of old folks, hey, did you have indoor plumbing? Oh boy, then that starts a conversation going. Even those that did, what it was like back then. Wow, what did you do before the invention of newspaper to use as toilet paper? And, you know, they just go on and on. It's fascinating. But I've also had opportunities to listen to, and then ask some questions. And I've had lots of prayer time over the table in the middle of the community center. It's kind of cool. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're not going to Monday morning Bible study at 9:30 right here, maybe make your way down there. It's quite interesting. Another option is to catch the $5 lunches on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month. They're actually pretty good, but if they're not, you didn't cook, so don't complain, you know, that kind of thing. But nevertheless, it's a great opportunity. Find places where you can connect with people. And by and large, most of them aren't Christians. But the few that are there, we can kind of tag team with the conversation. So it works out cool. You know, there are a number of other verses that I want to spend just a few minutes looking at regarding to listening with care, or at least they imply that. In Galatians 6, it says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The specific context is helping the person get out of a sinful situation they're in. But certainly that's going to involve listening to hearing what's going on. You know, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. I have a feeling that when Peter wrote that, he was thinking about his wife and his mother-in-law. You know, that goes a long ways. Romans 12 in various verses, love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another. Be joyful in hope, patient affliction. Faithful in prayer. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be conceited. I think you can, when you talk about humility, you can mix listening in there. Ephesians 4, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then we've got some great Proverbs. Proverbs 18, we find, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. We've all met those kind of individuals. And Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that's his folly and shame. Now I find if you come to men's breakfast, and it's a great time, and that's on the first and third, and no, I didn't plan on giving advertisement for every Bible study, but it's good. But one of the guys, while we're shoveling down the awesome biscuits and gravy or whatever's on the menu, will start talking about the size of the fish he caught that week. And before you know it, there's an unofficial one, I can one-up you contest about, you know, the bare-handed barracuda baiting, the alligator wrestling in the swamps of Louisiana, about the 412-inch high moose that you shot in the wilds of Alaska and had to drag uphill both ways in the snow, you know, barefooted and all that kind of stuff. And then pretty soon, you know, you've got the guy that shot the elephant in his dream, and you know how it goes. But that's all in good fun. There's never been a guy who at the men's breakfast just sat and began to tell a fish story, and it was hurting because this fish was only this long, and you told about the one that, you know, you had to buy a new boat to get in. No, that's not what's happening. What's totally different is when someone begins to share, and someone then butts in with something else. You know, say for instance, a normally quiet person in your small group says, I've not been feeling well lately. And some of the folks in the group can see that, oh, you know, they are looking a little peaked. They're not quite themselves. They do kind of have a pained look. But someone else, instead of listening, jumps in with, oh, that reminds me of how when I was on the jungle cruise up the Zambezi River and I got bit by the booga bug, you know, and I got the dreaded black mamba mumps, I didn't feel well at all. And they had to haul me by ox cart and canoe and helicopter and hang glider all the way back to the missionary hospital. And they gave me all these blood tests. I thought I was going to die, but it turned out I only had a bad reaction to some potato salad some native had found in a unrefrigerated hut. But as I was going, then the great thing was, because I ended up in that village, they had this native handicraft fair, and they were selling all these really cool figurines, and I couldn't determine whether or not I should buy a little giraffe or a wildebeest made out of ebony with ivory tusks or get the big gorilla or all three, and so I decided to buy them all. And meanwhile, the person that had just said, you know, I'm not really feeling good, and the reason they're not feeling good is because there is something going on, and they just went to the doctor, but you just told this long, crazy story, and they're like, oh, I guess I won't have a chance to share anything else. Reader's Digest had a story, an article a few years ago called Lend a Hand, or Lend an Ear, rather. And it was about a lady named Roberta who'd written it. And she began a conversation she'd had with her mother-in-law. Her in-laws were returning to New York after being in Florida for the winter, and they had one problem with the car after another. And three times the car broke down, and once on a bridge in the middle of rush hour. And right as Roberta was going to tell her own worst breakdown story, her mother-in-law had to hang up because someone was at the door. Before she said goodbye, she said, thanks for listening, but thanks of all, most of all, for not telling me your worst car story. Oh, you can tell Roberta had blown it in the past. But have you ever had that happen to you? You just really got to talk. And then someone else talks away and makes you feel like you're already feeling like this, and then you feel even smaller. You know, maybe you're having problems with the car or your health or finances or a relationship. But yeah, that happened to me too. Oh, that's not what we want to do, people of God. We want to listen. We want to be caring. But you know what the killer thing was this week? The Lord seemed to bring to mind every situation where I've done that to somebody recently. They were sharing. Maybe it was a big thing. Maybe it was a little thing. And suddenly I had to interject my opinion and tell my crazy story about living in the whatever. I'm guilty too. Oh, that we would learn to listen, that we would be slow to speak and quick to listen. You know, or sometimes I'll have to admit I'm super busy. I'm feeling crunch for time. Sunday mornings are coming, and I get a phone call on Saturday, and someone needs to really share, and my desk is a mess, and I've got a million things to do, and I don't always pay as good attention as I'd like to, and then I end up after praying, I pray for their son-in-law's spleen instead of their spleen. That never works well. That's not what I want to do. I want to be a better listener too, so I'm in process. I'm in process too. I want to learn to listen and love. And as if we can practice that, and it's hard, and we have to admit when we blow it, it's learning to bearing one another's burdens. Philippians 2, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Ooh, that applies to their stories. I don't have to tell mine. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor who was martyred under the Nazis, wrote, many people are looking for an ear that will listen. They do not find it among Christians because these Christians are talking where they should be listening. But he who can no longer listen to his brother will soon no longer be listening to God either. He'll be doing nothing but prattle in the presence of God too. Oh, let's not do that. Let's learn to listen to God and those around us. But you know, when we take time to interact and ask questions, it's amazing what we find out. The other day, I bought a cartload of building materials at Lowe's. I was blowing off the gutters. I discovered that the roof on the laundry room was coming apart, so I needed to do some work. And then I found all kinds of rotten boards. You know how that is. You pull one thing up, and it leads to you totally unravel the sweater. Sounds like the church basement. But anyway, I had, among other things, plywood and 2x4s. I had a 16-foot-long 2x6. Well, that's a lot of fun on those wobbly carts that don't maneuver so well going through Lowe's, let alone where they have strategically placed the checkout things. Now, I wanted the lady with the little zapper to do it. I didn't want to have to try to wiggle my way around it. Well, so I pull in the thing, but I swear they put him in the impossible situation where you cannot get around to get out. Well, I finally got everything paid for, and she zapped it all. And I'm trying to wiggle my way, and I did like a 24-point turn, you know, crank, crank. You know, I'm crashing into all the candy bars and all that kind of stuff. Well, I noticed this older gentleman, I'm taking a while, so I said, hey, listen, let me back up. So I back up and, crunch all the things behind me. He goes out, and anyway, one of the employees helps out. We kind of maneuver. He like jerks the thing. We finally make the kern. We get out. And anyway, next time I'll go to the contractor section in the back. My wife told me I should have done that the first place. But she was right. So I didn't not listen to her because she didn't mention that till after I got home. But nevertheless, note to self. Anyway, so I get to the car, I open up the back of the van, and I got to tell you, you know, I do not drive a soccer mom mobile, but a building materials mover. I mean, it will fit sheets of plywood and 16-foot boards in my man van, so don't give me flack, you know. But nevertheless, I could have done it myself. I got him onto the cart, but I decided I should be smart and not tweak myself, so it would probably be good to help. I didn't realize the guy was in his 80s until he told me later. But anyway, he was in no hurry, but we got everything in there, and he was talking the whole time. And he was kind of a fascinating guy, and I listened, and then I'd ask some questions, and he began telling me, I don't know how he got on it, but he was telling me about how he bought a house in Indonesia, and he's got one in the Philippines, and he loves to go there, and he visits all the folks. And well, I've lived in Asia, and so suddenly it's like my little antennas are like, ooh, we can swap like tropical living stories and fresh fruit and wonderful people and all this kind of stuff. And you know, so I asked him, hey, the Philippines is really Catholic. You go to church there? Well, what's it then like when you go to a Muslim country? And back and forth, and try to work in little things about God. And I asked him then, when's your next trip to Indonesia? And he goes, well, as soon as my cancer treatment's over. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, this guy's in no hurry to go anywhere. And I am, but this is a great opportunity. Well, I had to ask him. And long story short, we talked for a while, and then I was able to pray with him in the parking lot. And that was cool. And I got to admit, some of you have given me that idea that, you know, talk to people in the middle of Wally World and share their burdens. But it's amazing by asking the question. Of course, the guy was nice. And yeah, it helped that I didn't keep him boxed into Lowe's for 20 minutes while I was trying to get out too. But it worked out so well to ask a question, to listen. And you know, I'll tell you what, it blessed me as well. Well, I want to finish with the story. It's a true one. It's about an Australian World War II vet named Don Ritchie. And he lived across the street from a rock cliff at the entrance to Sydney Harbor called The Gap. And the rock cliff is famous for its beautiful views, but it's also infamous because that's where, since 1800s, lots and lots of people have jumped off to end their lives. Well, there's just a small fence separating people from the edge. And it was said at one point, one time a week, people were committing suicide there. And yet, Don said in an interview, you can't just sit there and watch that. Well, it's said that he's rescued at least 180 people, according to official records. But a lot of people, including his family, thinks he may have steered 500 people away from the cliff. Well, every morning he'd get out of bed and he'd look out the window. And throughout the day, he'd kind of see if anyone was alone or getting close to the edge. Now, I got to tell you, I couldn't handle living there. Being on suicide watch all day would probably drive me nuts. But he was able to. And if he noticed someone was all alone or looking a little strange, he'd rush out to interact with them. And he wrote, a news article describes those moments. In those bleak moments when this lost soul stood atop the cliff, wondering whether to jump, the sound of the wind and the waves was broken by a soft voice. Why don't you come and have a cup of tea? And then they'd turn to him and he would smile. And they would come with him. And he'd offer them tea, a smile, and he would listen. He spoke fondly of one woman he saved who came back to thank him. He spotted her sitting alone one day, her purse already beyond the fence, and invited her to the house to meet his wife, Moya, and have some tea. And they listened to her problems and shared breakfast. Her mood improved, and she drove home. And a couple months later, she returned with a bottle of champagne. And about once a year, at least while he was still alive, till 2012, she would visit or write him and say, all is well. The article continued that Don continues to be available to lend a hand. He doesn't counsel, advise, or pry. He gives a warm smile and he listens. It's amazing what a smile, what a listening ear can do. I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but he did listen with care. And he had the eating part down, which we'll talk about next week. Come and have a spot of tea to do life with someone. Well, James says, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Let me encourage you, be praying for people by name. Be specific. Who do you want me to bless, Lord? And then listen to them and pray for opportunities. And then next week we'll talk about eating or experiencing life. Listen as an act of love and think about who could use a listening ear from you. Lord, help us to bless others in your name. Thank you, Lord, that some people have listened to us in the past. Thank you that others have prayed for us. And Lord, maybe that's what brought us to faith in you. I pray that you would transform the hearts of those around us. Lord, we want people to come to a saving knowledge of you. Sometimes it's hard to know how to get started with people we've known a long time. But Lord, I pray that you would move hearts to yourself as we pray. And God, that you would give us a caring heart to pay attention and to hear. And then, Lord, that you would move things beyond just acts of kindness to words of truth and life. We give you thanks, and we are grateful that you are the one true King. In your name I pray, amen.